Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Breton. Go by SEC Mike Gold or Twitter. And there he is. Everybody's been waiting for the guy that shows up about, he showed up about twice this year. Everybody's favorite, Cousin Shade. How's it going, brother?
Oh, buddy. Can you see my tan?
Well, yeah, you're looking redder than normal.
Redder than normal. It may be blood pressure, you know, fumbling right here at the finish line. But no, it's good. Good to be back, man. I was down there in the Orlando. It's like the poor man version of Caribbeans, you know? Yeah, we went down there and this bunch of old farts ran around. I tell you what, the weather was perfect. And it was tough, man. It was tough to come back. I'm driving back. I get here this morning. It's 40, 35 degrees outside, raining. I was like, damn, I'd like to go back. So I see how they hook you, you know. So on the way down there, there's a place called the Villages. And that's like the capital of old people, you know. And that's where you go and you get golf carts and you drive around and stuff like that. And I was like, man, I could see it. I could see it right now. If they want to sponsor that SEC podcast, I'm not 50-something yet, but whenever I get there, I'd like to move down there and finish the show out right down there in Sweet Villages.
Well, I'm going to give you a rundown, Shane. We're already off and already had a ton of comments. That these are sensational. Cousin Tim, he says, this channel is impotent without Cousin Shane. I thought that was pretty good. Then Tim followed back, Red Lobster Shane.
Yeah.
Cousin Patrick says, Shane said, F you to the New Year's diet.
Yeah.
And Cousin Tony says, welcome back, Shane. Looks like you sweated a few pounds off.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't good. I ain't gonna lie. You know that. Everybody knows that. So, yeah, kind of fell off the wagon there, but no complaints, man. We did go down to Universal. Been working on that video for 3 days. I'm not really good at the old video editing, so hopefully I'll have that out to you guys soon. Basically, they got... So, Florida, like Orlando, they got Disney. Disney and Epcot, they have Drink Around the World. You and I did that. We got to experience that. Well, Universal doesn't really have one, but I did find some of these like Facebook, you know, groups and stuff like that, and they got a Drink Around the World. So that's basically what I did. Because obviously I have a tough time fitting in a few of these rides. So I said, fuck it, let's just drink, you know? So we went down there, we kind of drunk around the world. And, by the time we got done, I was ready to get home. I ain't gonna lie.
So you had a good time.
Yeah.
Glad to be back. I know we certainly missed you, buddy. So, but we are in the midst of list season.
Yeah.
It's hitting pretty hard right now, Shay. There's no football. There's of course, the greatest basketball in the damn land. Yeah. Apparently, as many as 14 teams can now make the NCAA tournament. So we're here to cover it all. But for this one, Shane, I had a fun idea. We've done this topic before in years past.
Yeah.
And what I used to do is call it the must-see games for the upcoming season. But I think we got to change it. I think we got to correct it, because now all anybody cares about seemingly is the playoff, right?
Yeah.
So these are the 15 SEC games that will determine who makes the college football playoff from the SEC. How's that sound?
Sounds good, buddy. Absolutely. Pumped up for it. Well, we still got spring games, you know? So I did see old Sark trying to get out of that. I'm like,
well, yeah, what's your thoughts on? Yeah, let's hit on the biggest news you've missed. Sark, no more spring games, and Georgia's trying to change the damn laws to where they don't have to pay taxes on NIL. Let's start with the spring games. Should they have them?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Mike. This is entertainment, boys.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't like going to work, but I do. You know what I'm saying? You can't just call in because you don't feel good or what. You know, I understand Sark's argument at this moment, at this current juncture, that, hey, it may have impeded us to the college football playoffs. But if you're sitting down there at Auburn, you know, you sit down there and LSU, you know, maybe that impacts, but there are a few teams in there that weren't even sniffing the college football playoffs, and I don't want to hear this shit that we ain't going to do spring games. Spring games, get off your ass. Get out there and entertain, because, Mike, NIL, we're in this era. People, you know, we're paying now. And, you know, Disney, you know, they're just sitting out a nice check, and they ain't going to say, you know what? Why don't you just take the spring off, you know? Take all that extra money we gave you, go down to Florida and hang out with Cousin Shane there at Universal Studios. Hell no, they ain't going to say that. They want more. I'm surprised they don't have 2 days. Bring it back and have, like, behind the scenes or something like that. But, no, I'm joking with you. But in all seriousness, Mike, I don't ever want to hear this topic again. I think old dumbass up there in Nebraska was the first one that did this because he's got a shitty team. He don't want people to notice it until the fall, apparently. And then, you know, that's how it goes. It's a trickle-down effect. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, if they're not doing it, we're not going to do it. And I understand that, but let's just nip it in the bud right now. We're having spring games.
Yeah, I think you said it beautifully, my friend. I mean, again, Sarkisian, he's making all this money. He is turning around Texas. So
yeah.
I'm not saying he's not worth the money, but again, you're getting paid over $10 million.
Yeah.
You can have a damn spring game. And you want all this. You know why he's getting paid all that money? Because they're getting paid through Disney, ESPN. Mm-hmm. And in those contracts, you have to have a spring game or at least some kind of televised content.
Yeah,
it's for the fans, Shane. And you have said this many times. There's many people, probably people listening to this, that, you know, quite frankly, this sport is pricing them out of going to games on mm-hmm. Saturday. I certainly understand that. So a lot of fans, particularly ones with big families, this is how you introduce your family to college football, is the spring game, game that you can actually afford to take your family to. And they're trying to take that away, too. I mean, I'm totally against all this.
I took the first game my girls ever went to was a spring game. First game I ever attended was a spring game. You know, I'll never forget my grandfather, rest in peace, taking me out here. It meant something to me more now that I'm looking back on it. You know what I'm saying? And we got to go down on the football field. We got there early. You know, and I'm talking to these absolute mammoths. I mean, they're just... They felt like gods when I was young. You know what I'm saying? I've never seen people this big. And I'm getting their autographs and telling my friends when I get to school, you know, I got all these autographs, going to be worth something one day. And, you know, it was just a total experience. But now the older I get, I also appreciate it because it's also a good time for optimism. You know, there's a kid you recruited. There's a transfer you got in. There's some sort of, like, how much better is our team going to be that we've got A, B, and C now? And, you know, that's what you look for in spring games, is looking for that next player to pop and take you to that next level. So you ruin it. You take it all away because of a few extra. You're still practicing. You're still working out. You know, you just don't have the game, whatever. And don't get me wrong, the Ole Miss Kiffin thing, that was kind of cool too. But I want to see more of my players. You know, I want to see more of what we're like. Are we in trouble, or are we, or should we be excited? You know, you can kind of tell in the springtime.
Yeah. You know what else I could tell, Shane?
What's that? JR is awesome.
JR's a legend. Come on. He's just gifted another membership. It's time to Jeff P. Jeff, welcome
to the family.
Thanks to Cousin JR, the legend. What a guy. What a guy. And then we had one other from Roastamon. Cuz, what do you think the eventual UT Bowls trophy should be? He's saying Texas versus Tennessee.
Yeah.
What should we call that? I don't know about you, Shane, but I would go with the Davy Crockett. You know what I mean? I mean, Tennessee legend died at the Alamo. I mean, how could it get any better than that?
I think, or better yet, just name the trophy U. Like, who gets to own the U for another season? Just be one letter. You just hand to each other until it's like King of the Hill. Until you take it off, you know, you get to claim to be UT. So
how about one of them? You know, you make the U in Texas.
Yeah,
orange. You make the T. Well, they'd probably fight over that, but the T, Tennessee orange. Then you put them together and it makes a UT, and whoever wins gets to keep it. You know what?
Absolutely. Something like that. I mean, embrace the controversy, you know, but they'll come up with something dumb, you know, they will.
Hey, and then how about this? So I don't think you saw this, but this is creating waves.
Yeah.
But this is double-sided here. So I thought this was just so interesting that in Georgia, they're trying to change the state laws. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not for the common, again, not for the common fan. Deal with them. They're trying to change the laws to where if you're getting paid through NIL, which we fully support,
yeah,
that you don't have to pay taxes in the state of Georgia. Hmm. And they're calling it the Kirby Smart Bill. And I think the most interesting aspect of this whole thing, Shane, you have any idea whose idea this was to have the Kirby Smart Bill?
Kirby Smart?
You would think it was Nick Saban, apparently. So Nick Saban, who's still on the payroll at Alabama, is scheming up ways to help Georgia. What in the hell's going? I mean, I'm surprised this is not like national news here. If I'm Alabama, I'm pissed that we're paying Nick Saban and he's scheming up ways to help Georgia.
Mike, Nick Saban's just like all of us. You know, you break a record somewhere. Like if I ate the most wings at the Wingstop or whatever, you know, and they put my name up on the wall, you better damn believe every now and then I'm going to poke in there and see if my name's still on the board. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's where Nick Saban is he wants to be identified as the best, the greatest college football coach in history. And we knew when he left Alabama, he was going to leave as this, you know, as the best football coach ever, but I also felt like he was going to make it tougher for the next chapter so that his, you know, he's not dethroned. I mean, if DeBoer came in here, won three national championships back to back, guess what? Nick Saban's career looks smaller and smaller. So, this is smart. I enjoy it. And honestly, whatever competitive edge the SEC needs to compete with teams like Ohio State and Notre Dame when it comes to NIL, I'm all for it, Mike, because I don't like losing. I don't like watching a national championship and one of my beloved teams are not in it.
Right. Well, and then, of course, if Georgia's going to go through with this, I just got an email. I haven't verified this, but I have reached out to some people try to verify it. It looks like Alabama now is rushing a bill to where there's athletes don't have to pay NIL. So Ryan Williams doesn't get his nail polish deals taxed or anything down.
Golly. Yeah, he's 18. We can make fun of him now.
Hey, let me ask you this too, because we got some trouble. Sort of, not really, but while you were gone,
people. Damn, I thought I'd be the one get us in trouble. What happened, Mike?
I asked some innocent questions here of our buddy Clark Brooks, SEC StatCat. Mm-hmm. I just want to see where your head's at when it comes to just a couple questions here. Shane Beamer at South Carolina,
yeah,
or Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri. Who's doing a better job at their current stop? And I'm gonna throw up their resumes. Again, to some people, this is like a no-brainer. To others, this is a hotly contested question. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you could simply say Drink is 3-1 against Beamer, so therefore it's Drink, you know. But I think that is not understanding these programs, who they're playing, the resumes they're facing, things yada yada yada. I think this is a genuinely tough question.
You know, I mean, is it a tough question? I get it.
I mean, for non-biased Mizzou homers over here.
No, but I understand. But you got the reason I became a Mizzou homer was from where they started. Look here, 2020, we can't count COVID year, 21.
Yeah.
We got six wins, 11 wins, 10 wins. Mm-hmm. That's progression, Mike. That's significant improvement. Now, South Carolina, I saw improvement every other year, you know, and I didn't sign up for the every other year plan. I signed up for an annual improvement, and was 24 fantastic? Absolutely. Was 22 special? It was at the end of the season. It sure as shit wasn't at the start of it. So I feel like if you're comparing apples and oranges here, it's tough because I do think South Carolina over those four seasons had a tougher schedule. And I would even argue that South Carolina, Shane Beamer was able to bring in more talent, coaching and player-wise.
Yeah.
But, again, at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses. And I'm seeing the improvement with Drink. So, if I'm building a program right now, give me Drinkwitz.
Okay, how about this one? This is another tough one, I thought. Brian Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Bama Lee down here. He's got an outstanding track record. But, again, I'm not saying his whole record. I'm saying, is he doing a better job at LSU,
mm-hmm.
which he's doing a fine job, or Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss? Who's doing the better job at their current spot? What do you think?
See, I look at this question differently, Mike. And the way I look at Beamer and Drink, it was I'm comparing programs and programs, right?
Yeah.
In this argument, I say, would LSU be in a better spot if Lane Kiffin were the head coach? Absolutely. They'd be competing for national championships, Mike. They wouldn't be, and Lane would be keeping all his damn money. He ain't got by players. They're coming there anyway. So, yeah, if I'm picking, don't get me wrong, I think Coach Kelly has been extremely successful. I can see why LSU went to get him. I mean, this is a coach for years, he is always hitting that 10-win mark. But when you take it to a program like LSU, that there is another step to their success there. And 10 wins don't get it. Hell, Campbell said that, you know, in the offseason. So right. I feel like that's where we're at. And right now, if I had to pick which head coach I would want down there in LSU, give me Lane Kiffin.
All right, one more for you.
Yeah.
And this one's tough because they were battling online. And I don't know that there's a wrong answer. There's things to like about each of them. But who will have a better 2025 season? That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
Not college career, not NFL career, just 2025. John Mateer at Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
or the man he's replacing. Jackson Arnold down there at Auburn. Which quarterback you think has a better 2025?
Give me Arnold. Yeah, give me Arnold. I think Mateer will do well, and kind of the same argument I just made with Lane Kiffin. I think if Auburn would have landed Mateer, I think there would be I think we'd be saying the same damn thing. I think Jackson's in a better spot, better offensive line, better coaching. Some people disagree, but you know, I think better athletes around him, substantial. I mean, hell, he had wide receivers. They were just hurt last year, you know, and not saying that it won't happen in 2025, but if those boys stay healthy, they got some damn game changers out there on the edge. So yeah, I like the Auburn situation a little bit more than the Oklahoma. And the biggest one for me, Mike, is because what you talked about 2025, I think in 2025, Oklahoma has a tougher road than Auburn does. If I'm taking a schedule and you remove the teams involved, I'm going to take Auburn 99% of the time.
This wasn't a question, but Cousin Bo says, I'll take Belichick as the best 2025. I've seen his girlfriend.
Oh, man. It's like he didn't get the NFL jobs. He's like, shit, I guess I got to do this for at least one season, you know? He's going to the Super Bowl party, and I love it, man. His girlfriend's trolling, building her TikTok account. I love it.
Yeah, they're both getting something out of that deal for sure. You know what?
Absolutely. Well, that's where we're at, man. What'd you think of the Super Bowl? I haven't talked to you since the Super Bowl either.
I mean, I enjoyed it just because I was rooting against Kansas City.
Yeah.
And, you know, as if we needed any further evidence of how dominant Georgia was the last couple of years. I mean, half their defense is now in the Philadelphia Eagles, seemingly, and they were just – I mean, they won them the game. They were all over the place. And then you look at on the offensive side, a lot of Alabama guys, Devonta Smith, Jalen Hurts, you know, mm-hmm. making huge, huge plays. But this isn't my line. I'm going to quote the great Paul Feinbaum, Shane. He said, we didn't win the college football playoff, but the SEC won the Super Bowl. That's what it felt like when I was watching it.
Yeah, I felt like I was watching Georgia again, you know. So I thought it was a good game. I thought I'm kind of like you. Here's the problem. I'm a diehard Steeler fan, so I don't really like the Eagles, but I don't hate them. I know it sounds crazy we're in the same state, but we don't play them that often. So it wasn't like the like Steven was talking about. It wasn't the Browns or the Ravens or something like that.
Right.
But I will say this. I've always been one of those guys that if somebody sat on top of the hill too long, I want them dethroned, you know. And right. And I'm sorry, I know that there's a lot of chief followers in this podcast, but I was happy that they lost. I hated the Yankees when they were good. I hate the Patriots when they were good. I hated Cowboys when they were good. It's like if you sit up there too long, I'm going to root against you. Jeff Gordon, yeah, didn't like him. You know, it's like Dale Earnhardt, nope, didn't like him. You know, rest in peace. But that's just kind of how I was. If somebody just dominated a specific sport, it's like you always are looking for that guy to dethrone them. And so that's kind of why I pulled for the Eagles here.
Hey, we got a great question from Razor Bash, Shane. What was Shane's favorite ride in Orlando other than the Cracker Barrel?
I'll tell you this, Mike, and I got a video of it. Have you remember Universal, right?
Oh, yeah.
When you're walking in and walking out, they got those it's like a tram. Not a tram, but like you're walking out and like the floor moves, the sidewalk moves. I don't know what you call that. You know, so
like a moving walkway.
Yeah, when my fat ass was moving out of that place, that was my favorite ride. I made the joke. I said, this is the best ride. And I kind of walked a little bit on it as it was going just to see what it felt like to run, you know? I just want to see how the other half lived.
Cousin Gutter says he's about to go down there. What was the best place to eat?
Oh, man. It's expensive. And it's almost so expensive, it sucks, you know? But I love Raglan's. There's a place down there at Disney Springs. Mike knows that I send him videos every time I go in there. They get in there and they do their Irish dance. You drink your Guinness beer and wonderful, wonderful food. So that's one we go to every single time we go down there. Unfortunately, I didn't get as good of a seat this time. The last year, man, we were right by the stage and these girls dancing, guys singing. It was a dinner and a show. So that one's definitely on top of my list right there. Now the other ones I hit everything. You know me, Mike. I'm always trying to find the restaurant, and I never found one on this trip that I was like, man, I can't wait to give them glowing remarks because. Again, it's that cost taste thing, you know.
Right.
I some that were tasting really good, but then I get that bill, and I'm like, shit, it wasn't that good. You
know? So you're speaking out of your mouth and your wallet at the same time, huh?
We did that Kobe Japanese place. You know, they're flipping things and you know, I've seen them. That's cool. I love it. Good food, great food. But then I got the bill. I was like, shit, you know, did I get filet mignon here? What's going on? Just wasn't worth it, man.
Yeah. I think there's a trick to those. You could always order in advance or order takeout, and you don't have to put on with the show or anything. I think it saves you a little bit.
I'll tell you, my wife, she loves, she likes this whole French bakery stuff, you know. I think mm-hmm. she gets like that's her dream is to go to Paris or something,
right?
And so she hit us up. She said, we got to go to this. Look at this bakery, it's awesome. We went in there and it looked cool. I'm not gonna lie, a whole bunch of little pastries and what do they call them? People on there probably know they're like cookies, but they're like but kind of firm. Does that make sense? They're usually like green pedophores. I don't know. They're something like that.
Macaroons.
Yeah. Terrible, man. Pedophores. Terrible. Yeah. I can't believe we paid for that. It felt like somebody left the container open overnight. You know what I'm saying? Like, these cookies were really good yesterday, but somebody's ass left the container open. So we went in there, and we probably spent 50, 60 bucks out there. And I said, this is the biggest waste of money. We went down there, Voodoo Donuts, and I was like, all right, let's redo this thing, Mike.
Oh yeah, I'm living vicariously through you now. Then, what was the best voodoo that you had?
I like the OG, the one that's got the pretzel, the one pretzel in it. It's got the jelly inside. I can't remember the name, so maybe you know, but it's like the literal voodoo doll.
Yeah, that's what it's called, the voodoo doll.
Yeah, yeah, that one was probably one of my favorites. They had a couple. That's what I do when you do places like voodoo. You go for like two or three you've never tried, and then you hit some of the OGs. And the problem is the OGs they're OGs for a reason. So I like some of the newer ones, but honestly, I think the voodoo is still my favorite.
Yeah, Cousin Tim says, did we know where all the membership money went? All right, the latest Nat Food Podcast. Let's get into it, Shay. Top 15 games.
Yeah.
That will determine who makes the playoff out of the SEC. And I'm assuming, I could be wrong, I don't think we'll ever have another. It was just a wild year, Shane.
Yeah.
We only had three teams out of the SEC. I think we're getting four this year. I think we're getting at least four. And we're getting, hell, Greg Sankey will probably change the rules to where it's five or more in 2026. Yeah. You know what?
I would imagine there's some very tough conversations happening behind the doors here. So, yeah, I would imagine more SEC teams get in than not. But part of you is like, we may have one more year of this BS. You know what I'm saying? So I do know that 2026, it definitely will be cleared up.
And this is not necessarily the best games. This is not necessarily the must-see games. But I tried to order them in the importance that the winner will get to the playoff and the loser may get eliminated. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. But it's not like order. It's not any particular order. You're just
It is an order. It's an exact order.
Oh, shit. Oh, like during the season. Okay.
No.
Oh.
1 through 15 through 1.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right, number one. You'll get it about halfway through. I'm going to go South Carolina at Missouri, Shane. I think that this will be a big one. Again, I'm not saying the loser's eliminated, but I think for South Carolina, I think if you can win at Missouri, I think you're going to be undefeated by the time you hit LSU. So that's going to be a huge one. And same deal for Mizzou.
Yeah.
Right? If you can beat South Carolina at home, I think you're going to be undefeated till Alabama. So, I think the winner, September 20th, South Carolina at Mizzou is positioned extremely well, not to necessarily make the playoff off of that one win, but I think that'll start to provide us some separation on which one of those teams is better, you know, just between those two teams, really, Missouri and South Carolina, but which one is a better position to make the playoff, if that makes sense.
No, it does, and it's early in the season. I think that's another thing. You look at some of these programs that were bubble teams, the reason that maybe they did get in or didn't get in is because of early on-field situations, if you will, early season situations. So dropping at home, if Mizzou loses that game at home, it's tough for me to say, okay, a three-loss Mizzou deserves to get in later, you know?
Right.
If South Carolina, same boat. I mean, look at LSU, South Carolina, prime example. I know they don't ever want to talk about that football game, but that was the talking point. When we're trying to decide if South Carolina should be in or should be out, it seems like that was the game that was referenced the most, and it was early in the year. So, I like the placement here. I like the argument. These are two teams that are expecting to win this football game. And honestly, if they play their cards right, you know, we're talking two undefeated teams coming in here September 21st. So big, big, big game for sure.
And let me know if you think I'm right here. Just this could absolutely change. Not making any definitive statements. February 11th, but
yeah,
if you were to tell me South Carolina, Missouri, even though it is at Missouri, I think I would favor South Carolina today, but that's why it's a nice edge. Missouri's getting it at home. That could be the difference in that one.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, wait, you're thinking South Carolina would be favored or?
Yeah, I don't see how you wouldn't. I couldn't believe anyone would say it. Now, again, I'm saying based on what we know today.
Yeah.
If Missouri, I'll throw up their schedule. I mean, let's say they beat Kansas by 40. They beat the Raging Cajuns by 50. But it doesn't have to be that ridiculous. But point being, or South Carolina loses to Virginia Tech. They lose to Vanderbilt. You know, these things can happen. And certainly they're not going to be favored to win at Missouri. But I'm just saying, as of today, I think South Carolina would be about a 2 to 3 point favorite at Mizzou. But I'd rather be the home underdog, I think.
What a tough opener. I mean, it's been a while since I looked at South Carolina's schedule, man. I mean, Virginia Tech's no pushover. They were last year, but, you know, I imagine they bounce back. Vandy, we know how good they can be. And Mizzou, all within the first four games, brother.
Right.
That may help them. That may help them. I think you're right. I think this is this. I mean, this is, I think it'll be a coin toss by the time it happens, but But damn.
Well, of course, you've already showed your bias. So
Yeah. Because I think Mizzou will kill those teams, you know. And that's what we also do. We have a tendency to overreact. Yeah. Look at Ole Miss last year. We were just like, golly, they ain't going to be stopped by nobody. And Kentucky rolls in. So, yeah, I feel like there'll be a little bit of an overreaction based off Mizzou's early schedule. And maybe the opposite with South Carolina because they fought Virginia Tech close, because they fought Vanderbilt close. You know, God forbid they lose any of those games. Yeah. So, I feel like they'll be a little biased just when it comes to the schedule play out here.
Now, there's going to be a lot of both these teams on the list here, Shane.
Yeah.
Number 14. You already like number 15. I think you're going to like this one. Number 14. There's a lot to pick from here. I'm going Florida at LSU. Come on, September 13th. Again, neither one of these teams is going to get eliminated by that game. But I think it'll go a long way towards, I mean, hell, we... Someone made the joke the other day, Brian Kelly, how could it be a top five coach? He starts 0-1 every year, which is true. And now he's at Clemson, which Clemson, you know, just made the playoff, whether they deserve it or not. They just did.
Yeah.
They're going to be a preseason top 10, probably top 15, whatever. So LSU can't afford to have two losses by September 13th. It's almost a must win if you lose to Clemson, which I'm not saying you will, but who the hell knows. And then same deal with Florida. You know, this could be your first test. It's on the road. You flipped it last year. You finally won a game here. You beat Brian Kelly for the first time. Now they just did it. They had a slow start and they turned it around. But can they really do that 2 years in a row with the schedule? Maybe even tougher next year. So yeah. That's a huge game, I think, for both these teams.
Yeah, I really do too. I mainly Florida. I think dropping LSU, yeah, I mean, you're looking at Miami, Texas, A&M, Georgia in the next 5 weeks. You know what I'm saying? It's like all that optimism, all that momentum that you picked up here at the tail end of 24 schedule, I think it goes right out the window if you lose to LSU. And on the other side of that coin, LSU didn't have the year they wanted, but this is the one I think pissed the fans off the most. You know, I think they were upset, obviously, when they went to A&M. I felt like that was probably a knee-jerk reaction after that game. But I felt like after that Florida, that's when you start hearing, like, is Coach Kelly the right guy?
Yeah.
You know, they probably fired up the firebriankelly.com website, you know. I feel like that one sticks in their crawl a little bit. So, yeah, there's going to be a little revenge on this one. A lot of storylines leading up to this game. I mean, obviously, it's a huge rivalry. But yeah, it could be an absolute train wreck for either team if they lose this game.
Yeah, so that's why it made this list. Now, how about this one? This one, in years past, will not be anywhere close to this list. And maybe I shouldn't even have it at all, Shane. But I'm giving the benefit of the doubt, which I rarely do to this program. I'm going Georgia. How about this one, Shane? Georgia at Auburn. Come on down. Come on down. You freezing company. And again, I'm saying, you know, Georgia, they've owned Auburn. So, again, I may be way off the mark on this one, but this is more to me about Auburn and if they're legitimate or not.
Yeah.
And we'll probably know by this point because they got at Baylor the first week. They got at Oklahoma first conference game, and they got at A&M. I mean, for all I know, Auburn could be eliminated by this game, but I don't think they will. I think they're poised to have a really good year. They just threw all this money at DJ Durkin. To be, how about this, Shane? He's the second highest paid assistant coach in the country. By God, I don't know what they're doing down there. But man, if they let's say they're undefeated, which
yeah,
that may be a little bit of a stretch, but this could be a massive game for I think really for Auburn, and I think it'll be a big game for Georgia too.
Yeah, you know, and when I look at big games, we're talking about not making the playoffs.
Yeah,
so. If you're not making the playoffs, you're probably losing two games, potentially three. And when I'm looking at this list that you've put together, thank you for putting this list together. I love lists here in February, Mike. But when I'm looking at Georgia and Auburn, I'm looking at it a little bit different. I'm looking at if Georgia loses this game,
yeah,
they may be the team that's left out.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And because I would make the argument if you flip the script and Auburn loses it, 9-3, I think you forgive them for losing a Georgia game. I call me crazy. I feel like,
ooh, yeah, you know, that's crazy.
You know, but you see what I'm saying? Like, let's say, okay, you drop Georgia. Let's say in this scenario, you drop Georgia,
I don't think Auburn can get in at 9-3, not with this schedule.
Let's say, 9-3, A&M on the road. Uh-huh. Let's say Georgia and then Bama. Let's just say it's those three.
They're
right
done.
There. Can't get in on that one.
No.
Okay. What about Baylor?
Baylor, what would be their best win? Missouri at home?
Okay, let's make it really difficult. Baylor, I think they're a one-point favorite, one-point underdog,
right,
somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor, Georgia, and Bama. And not blown out, just you got beat.
They're done.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just going off what we only have 1 year, right?
Yeah.
I don't think any three loss did any three loss get in there unless they won their conference. I don't think you could do it.
Well, pull Georgia up one more time. Can a three loss Georgia make the playoffs in?
Only if they win the SEC, and I don't think they would even get to the SEC championship if they had three losses.
If they lost to Tennessee,
mm-hmm,
Alabama,
and Texas.
Yeah, let's do that. But, again, they went on a run. They beat a top 25 Auburn. They beat a top 5 Ole Miss. You know, there's some games that would probably get them back into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
But does a 9-3 Georgia, if you pick the three, get in? I think it does. I think it does. There's no way you want to keep – there's no way they want Georgia left out.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not fair, but maybe because their schedule is so much harder than Auburn, I could make the argument that this is a team that if they lost three games should get in, as long as they didn't get, you know, blown out by Georgia Tech or – you know, Texas at the end, you know.
Let's just put a ball in the playoff, Shane.
Yeah, that's fine.
They don't have to earn it.
That's what I want, Mike. You can't – that's exactly what we want. But you're talking about games that will make the difference of them getting to the playoffs. I'm just making the case that Georgia loses to Auburn, there's no way they're getting in 9-3. Auburn loses to Georgia, there may be an argument for a 9-3 Auburn to get in.
Okay. How about this one?
Yeah.
How about this one? I told you, buddy. I told you there's going to be a lot of this team on it. A lot of crossroads games for Florida. But this one I'm going a little bit later in the season. That's why it's a little bit higher on this list. At Ole Miss. How about that, buddy? So I think the loser, I mean, they both may not make it, but the loser of Florida at Ole Miss, I don't think they have a real shot.
God, what a sweet schedule. Yeah, I'd definitely kick them out if they lost to another Florida team.
At home, right?
Yeah, that's without a doubt. Because I think worst case scenario, they're two losses. You know, Georgia, maybe LSU or South Carolina, I think would be the other one I'd go with. And at that moment, Ole Miss does not have a schedule to go 9-3. Florida Gators, this is a must win for them. And Florida, Mike, I mean, we'll keep playing this game all summer long. And I don't think it matters which game you pick on this schedule about them getting to the playoffs. They ain't going to sniff the damn thing.
But I would say this. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but if you're Florida and you're losing at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Hell, for all I know, Ole Miss could be top five, you know, but I don't think that's realistic. So, you know, they're probably top 15, maybe top 10.
Yeah.
If you're losing to Ole Miss, that tells me you probably already lost to Georgia and Texas and at least one other team. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't see how you're beating Texas and Georgia and then be like, well, but we can't beat Ole Miss. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think – let me ask you this. Do you think at the end of the season we look back at the Florida Gators and we say, this team would have made the playoffs if it weren't for these guys? Or are we looking at the Florida Gators and saying, the Florida Gators kept this and this team out of the playoffs? Are they more eliminating? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Just like last year, they knocked Ole Miss out, right?
Yeah, right.
Are they spoilers? I think you're saying, are they true playoff contenders, or are they still in the playoff spoiler role?
Yeah.
And I think, you know how I feel about old Billy Napier. Until he proves otherwise, I think they're spoilers.
Okay.
Which means they could play with anybody.
Yeah.
They can knock a team off. We ain't done with just two. There's more Florida coming. All these teams, LSU, Ole Miss, more to come.
Yeah.
I think they could beat all the ones I'm going to reference here, and it could keep every single one of them from making the college football playoff.
Yeah. I mean, you just pick any random show. Pull up that schedule one more time with the Florida. I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And if you're a Florida State homer, I would say 8 shows that will at some point come up with a scenario why those teams should make a college football playoff spot. That's just how tough their schedule is. But I guarantee you there's an LSU fan base out there that says we're getting in. There's a Miami. There's a Texas. There's probably an AM. I'm sure if we get damn one of them liquored up down there at College Station, they'd say it. Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee. I'm a homer. I'll say it. Florida State.
Yeah.
You know, that last year was a one-off, and thank God we got a good quarterback now. So I feel like there are so many teams on this schedule that in some scenario have come up with an idea that they'll be in the playoffs. But I just feel like the Florida Gators are just going to spoil a lot of they're going to piss a lot of people off in 2025.
Yeah. Including their fans, probably.
Yeah, probably. They'll find a way to win and suck. Watch it.
All right, how about this one? Oh, buddy, I did this one just for you here. Because this will be right up your alley. Alabama.
Yeah.
Lot of great games to pick from. Maybe I'm on an island, Shane. I don't think that Florida State week one is a gimme. I'm not saying... You know, it's likely they lose, but I don't think it's a gimme. But I think every one of these road games will be difficult, and several of these home games.
Yeah.
But the one I have circled, for all you homers out there, Mizzou, come on down. Alabama at Mizzou, October 11th. I think that's going to be a huge game for Missouri's purposes. This is, once again, this is one of these critical games. You had two or three of them last year. And you simply could not get swept in them. You did. And this will be kind of another test case. If you can win this one, you could make the playoff. And Alabama, I don't think losing to Mizzou would eliminate you.
Yeah.
But the same thing I said about some of these others. Now, this is college football. That's why we like it, because it's so unpredictable. But to me, it's hard to fathom that you're losing at Mizzou, but you're winning at Georgia, at South Carolina, you know, Tennessee at home, LSU at home. I mean, there's a lot of landmines on here. So I think this will be a critical game for both those programs.
Well, and if you think about it, 2024, this game in particular was one that kept one team out, I felt like, you know. I losing the way Mizzou lost that football game.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely ripped the heart out of that fan base that – thought they were almost there. And I mean, it was embarrassing. I get that. And there was injuries and things like that. But when we got to the tail end of the season, you know, Mizzou kind of got in that drink after that, the Oklahoma game, you know, he said, we're still in the mix, top thing, you know, but then you lose to South Carolina. And so again, I go back to there are going to be some 9-3 teams, and I don't think a 9-3 Mizzou, a 9-3 Bama gets in. And so when you look at October 11th, yeah, I can almost guarantee you about whoever wins that game will be the one in, and whoever loses it will be the game team out.
Right. Hey, well, we're about to get to into the top 10, Shane.
Yeah.
But real quick, you know how you can get in the top 10 financial security there? I don't know. Rocket Money, come on down. Rocket Money, back for another week, Shane. If you haven't already, check out rocketmoney.com. Promo is game on, all one word, game on over at Rocket Money. This is a one hell of a service, Shane, that you sign up. It'll help you cancel any unwanted subscriptions.
Yeah.
Gives you a rundown of all the subscriptions you currently have active. And by a click of a button, you could cancel each and every one of them if you so desire. Save you some money. Get your personal finances in order in 2025. Thanks to our good friends over at Rocket Money. And again, don't forget that promo, game on, all one word, Shane. Over 5 million active users over at Rocket Money. And they've saved people over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Shane, I hope you utilized your Rocket Money before your expensive ass trip down to Orlando.
I did. I did. In fact, it notified me. It said, hey, buddy, hey, you're spending a little too much. So let me show you how to mute Rocket Money. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. How about this one, Shane? We were talking about it. This is going to be a big one, I think. Mm-hmm. I got another Gamecock one on here. Gamecocks, revenge game. You know, already know where I'm going, brother. At LSU. Come on down. Again, hopefully, I don't think LSU is going to be eliminated by this point, but they damn near could. And, yeah. And if they lose this one, I think they probably will be eliminated because they'll probably have another loss or two already. Maybe not eliminated, but maybe maybe – it could be the one that kills them. So I think South Carolina at LSU for both of these programs could be a season-defining type game.
Yeah, yeah. Did they put out the officiating? Who's going to be handling this one? Do we have any inside yet? It's, you know, similar sentiments like we talked about with the Mizzou-South Carolina game. Again, early in the season, coming off a bye week, that's the things folks are going to be talking about. You know, you had an extra week to prepare for this team.
Yeah.
You had an extra week. They both are going to have a bye week. I don't know, man. I feel like that is going to be kind of the narrative. Not so much for a team to get in. Nobody's going to turn back and say, hey, you remember when South Carolina beat LSU or LSU beat South Carolina? They're going to turn around at the end and say, well, LSU shouldn't get in because they lost to South Carolina after a bye. So I feel like that's what we're going to get a little bit from this football game. It's going to be one of those that kind of haunts you, just like it did South Carolina in 2024. So, yes, must win. Keep it close. This isn't a game you can afford to get blown out in.
Yeah, hey, shout out to G's Louise. It says Shane subscribed to the Cracker Barrel Breakfast Bonanza over there.
True story, my daughter just filled out an application. First job, Cracker Barrel.
It's a Cracker Barrel show, whether they want it to be or not. You know
what? That's right. They may not answer my emails, but I'm sending my family that way.
All right, how about this one, Shane? Another Ole Miss game. Yeah. And maybe I'm off on this one. But, hell, I think Ole Miss could be really good next season.
Mm-hmm.
How about Ole Miss at Georgia, buddy? Mm. You're talking about all the losses that could be on Georgia's schedules. I don't think they'll have that many, but, hell, I didn't quite see them losing two games last year, yet it happened. So I think that could be an eliminator potentially for Ole Miss. And, hell, if Ole Miss beats Georgia 2 years in a row, I think they damn near punched their ticket. Of course, I thought it punched their ticket last year, too. But if you could do it in Athens, that's even more impressive. That's arguably the toughest place to play in the damn country.
Mike, I don't think it's not – I want to say eliminating. It may not be eliminating. It may eliminate who has home field advantage in the college football playoffs. It may be, you know, elimination of who gets the chance to go to an SEC championship. I feel like this is a very, very big game, just like it was last year. And you better damn believe that there's going to be some runoffs to whoever loses or wins this thing. So, yeah, monumental game right here. Can't wait. This is probably when we're talking about – we'll have another list, I'm sure we'll do from now to then, of games we're most interested in watching. This is going to be toward the top of my list.
I still can't believe it, Shay, that they whooped Georgia's ass and then lost to Florida right after. You know, I mean –
That's the bad part. You know, you got a nice little story going and then boom, something happens.
All right. Speaking of nice story, Shane, how about that Vols? You knew there was going to be Tennessee on this list. I got two, but I'm going first. I may have these in the reverse order, but I'm going Tennessee at Florida, buddy. Oh man. This is a house of horrors down here for Cousin Shane to swamp. Playing down there, thankfully. I mean, this is, you know, of course, from the tragedy night from September 11th. I mean, it's rare that they play this late. Maybe that's a deal breaker. Maybe that'll turn the tides for the Vols. It won't be so hot and humid come November 22nd. Right. Isn't it weird to see Tennessee in Florida on the schedule in late November?
Yeah, we don't lose in November, Mike. You know, that's the thing. September was not our month, but November, yes. It does not feel right. It does, for me, it feels like it should be that September 13th matchup, but, you know, I get it. I understand it, and I honestly welcome it, because if you're going to the swamp, I'd rather go down there in November than September. So, but... like you said, this is a game. It doesn't matter the records. It doesn't matter the coaches, the players, or hell, even really where it's being played. The game's going to come down to a wire, and it's going to come down to one or two bad decisions. And thank God Billy had them last year. But, you know, if Josh Heupel has them in 2025, at the end of the season, this is the one that's going to leave you out of a college football playoff for sure.
Would you bet the mortgage if I were to tell you, we knew for certain – that Tennessee beats Florida,
mm-hmm.
would you bet the mortgage that they're making the playoff? Or is it? Would you?
No, well, I mean, never. I would never bet the mortgage on the Tennessee Vols. But, I mean, that's a tough one. Because you look at that final five-game run, for the listeners, that's Kentucky, Oklahoma, New Mexico State, Florida, Vandy. You know, historically, other than Oklahoma could have been, you know, just kind of cupcakes, but you can't count that this year.
Yeah.
Vandy's playing out of their damn mind. Oklahoma, what if Mateer's the real deal?
Yeah.
The Florida Gators, it's just, if you've been on this earth long enough, you just know that more times than not, Florida beats Tennessee. So having them there that late, and if you told me it's a guaranteed win, I'd feel pretty good about the situation just based off the schedule alone. But I am not going to do that because sure as shit, I think ETSU, I found out they got five of the best quarterbacks in the country for some reason. You know, it's like you just never know what's going to happen with them Volunteers. You just know that it's probably going to hurt your feelings.
All right, how about this one, Shay? We have not hit on this team yet, A&M.
As they lose to Kentucky, by the way.
Ooh. A&M at a lot of tough ones here. But I chose.
Did you choose? Because I don't think you
chose. LSU. Come on. I think that was a defining game for both of them really last year. Of course, A&M didn't finish the deal. But LSU hosting A&M, I think that'll be – that'll be a big time matchup that could decide who knows if either one of them goes to the playoff, but I think the winner has got an outstanding shot of making it there.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head. And one of the things you're going to run into with both A&M and LSU fans in particular is they're anticipating winning all their home games.
Right.
I don't think A&M looks at that schedule and say, hey, there's one home game that we may lose. I feel like if they're going to find their losses, it's going to be on the road. So that would favor LSU, I would think. But buddy, if you drop a home game in Death Valley, there, if you go 9-3, let's say LSU loses Clemson, Ole Miss, Bama, on the road, and you come up, you justify why they should, you know, still be in the playoffs. You can't justify if A&M October 25th at home at night, most likely, you right. lose that football game. So, yeah, this is another one of those matchups that going to have a lot riding on it at the end of the season.
How about this? We haven't featured Oklahoma.
Oh shit. Yet.
I got Oklahoma on here, man. Don't never count out the Sooners, brother. But this one, a little wild card for you.
Kent State. No, I'm just going. Oh, my
God. Texas, come on down, brother. Again, that throw the records out. This is what hell of a rivalry here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think if Texas is losing it, by God, I mean, they may be – They may miss the playoff. I mean, yeah. I think that's because they may lose at Georgia. They may lose at Ohio State. Again, three losses, you're out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think it's – I don't know if it's a must-win for Texas, but I think it's a must-win for Oklahoma given their schedule after mm-hmm. Texas. And I think there is a – you know, it's not going to take that much, I really don't think, for Oklahoma to be undefeated – heading into Texas. I mean, you got to beat Michigan. Michigan is not that good. And I don't care that they signed a true freshman quarterback. I don't give a damn. He ain't going to be ready by week two. And then Auburn, which you beat last year. I think Auburn will be better, but you're getting them at home. Again, I would favor Auburn, but not by a ton. So it really wouldn't be that big of a stretch for Oklahoma to be undefeated going into Texas.
It'd be awesome to see see that kid get smoked up there, you know, September 6th. LSU be like, see, we didn't want him. We didn't want him.
Let me ask you this. I know you don't think this will happen because mm-hmm. you hate the Sooners. But if Oklahoma starts the year 6-0, which means beating Texas.
Shit.
Would they make the playoff, in your opinion?
6-0. I mean, how could you argue? I feel like Texas and Auburn alone beating those two programs – you know, I could justify you beating South Carolina, Ole Miss. I mean, there's not a right. team on this schedule now that looks too tough to beat. So my thing, Mike, and I'm just shooting you straight, man. I don't think Oklahoma is going to be competing for a playoff spot, obviously, this season. But mm-hmm. I do feel like
– we didn't think South Carolina would either, you know, last year.
Yeah, but – but we saw moments where 22 alone, we saw what Shane Beamer can be and what South Carolina can be. I've not seen that with Oklahoma, but they've not been over here too long, you know? So right. I feel like you come out here 6-0, then all of a sudden, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'd be nuts to say that you couldn't make the playoffs, but there's so many tough road games. There's tough home games. There's so many... I mean, how deep are they? Can they stay healthy? There's so much going on with Oklahoma, and on the back burner too, you've got a coach that's fighting for his damn life. We got two new coordinators. There's a lot riding, but you beat Texas. I feel like that's an eliminator because there's people, not me, but there were people last year saying, "Hey, a two-loss Texas team shouldn't get in," you know, based off their schedule alone. And I think those same folks are going to be coming out with pitchforks if they drop the Oklahoma game. So, I think it's more important that Texas gets that victory. But I think it would galvanize that fan base, and it would stop these fat bald fuckers from pissing on your program. You know, if you come out here and beat Texas and go 6-0 and be like, damn it, I was right. Get my forgiveness sign. I'm going to Norman, you know, just mark out Shane Beamer's name. Here I am.
All right. How about this one? This may be the game of the year for all I know, but I'm going Alabama at Georgia, top five. Now we're getting somewhere. And again, this is not a given. I mean, in a normal year, I would say, well, hell, this can't be a playoff eliminator because both these teams are going to make it, right?
Yeah.
Well, Alabama didn't. And man, I think if Alabama loses, it could be the beginning of the end for old DeBoer. You know what I mean? I think it could get rocky. Again, both these teams could be very, very good, and both of them should make the playoff next year. But, hey, if you're only getting three teams, maybe four in the playoff, it's games like this that could decide it.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, I tell you what, could you imagine the wheels falling off of that program? I mean, look at Georgia. I mean, they don't have an easy road. Tennessee, no. Bama. Whew. Yeah, I feel like coming off a bye week, you know, these again, they're going to be putting this game on a pedestal like they should.
Yep.
But how you get beat, too. I think style points are going to be important in this game as well, because we're going to get there at the end of November, and we're going to, you know, we're going to have the same argument. One of these teams got to lose. And we're going to look back at this game and say, well, they could have won if this happened, or they could have lost if that happened. So does it come down to one or two possessions, or is it just an absolute ass stomp? And if that happens, I think that team just lost an opportunity to get in with 9-3.
Yeah. Well, I'm sticking with Alabama one more time, Shane, because I think this will have even bigger playoff implications for Alabama as well as the team they're facing. And I think it you could rightly say this game last year determined a playoff spot. Alabama, Tennessee, come on down. This year's at Alabama, though.
Yeah.
I think the loser, again, it's not going to eliminate you, perhaps, but I think it'll be the one that decides your fate, if that makes sense, especially if Tennessee goes down there and wins.
Yeah.
I think Tennessee is almost assuredly in, and I would say Alabama's almost assuredly out.
Yeah.
But not necessarily vice versa. You know, Tennessee can afford a loss at Alabama if they're really good, and Tennessee could be Alabama's best win next year.
That's funny. It's like when I look at this schedule, I say if Tennessee beats Bama, they're in.
Right.
They're in regardless. If Alabama beats Tennessee, they still got to win another game. I hate to say it, not really, but I feel like Alabama has got so many landmines sitting out there because people are Georgia, Tennessee. Let's say it's Georgia and Tennessee. Well, now you've got to go. Well, you got them at home, so that helps. LSU. You've got the Iron Bowl, which is getting better and better every single year. South Carolina, another fringe playoff team that went toe-to-toe with you last season. So, yeah, there are so many, and you mentioned it, Florida State. I'm not coming out here saying Florida State's going to go, you know, 0-12. This is a new season. You know, I don't know if there's any bad bets going or bad voodoo down there, but I feel like Florida State's going to come hitting the ground early, and if Bama's not ready, buddy, that would be that's when we point how bad Florida State was last year.
Right.
Man, would just pull Alabama down if they dropped that game. So, yeah, I say all that to say this. Tennessee wins that when they're in. Bama wins it. They still got some work to do.
Okay. How about this one? And, hey, I know you're high on LSU. A lot of people. Everywhere I'm seeing, Shane, they're going to the playoff.
Yeah.
The game I think that could decide it, though.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, come on, man! These two, what a rivalry this has developed into. They split the last two games, been back and forth, high scoring affair. Last one was an overtime. LSU trailed the entire game until they actually took the lead in overtime and won it. I think this is going to be one hell of a game, and it could very well see the loser not make the playoff, and I think the winner is going to be in excellent shape to make it.
One of my favorite games is these. And honestly, because they're saying the same stuff we are about the coaches and, you know, if Lane Kiffin were down there and blah, blah, blah. But say what you want, man. This game ended like a damn movie last season. And I feel like that's a launch pad to 2025. So I'm right there with you, brother. Right here into September. It's the last game people are talking about before October cranks up. And if LSU drops it, if Ole Miss drops it, then I think the narrative dramatically changes for the opposing team.
Mm-hmm. All right, number two. Oh, buddy, I told you. Yeah, expectations are sky high up in Baton Rouge, as they should be. Brian Kelly came down here. What do you say? I came down here and won national championship. Well, you can't win a national championship if you get your ass kicked by Alabama back-to-back years. That, I think this will we were saying the Tennessee one, but I think this will really be the one I think that could eliminate Alabama if they lose it, because it is a home game. Meanwhile, for LSU, probably not going to eliminate you because it is a road game.
Yep.
But I think it'll probably punch your ticket. If you're beating Alabama on the road, you're probably going to crush Arkansas, Western Kentucky, and at Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, this is, again, this is just one of my favorite games of the year. You know, it's like,
yeah,
this is the one, you know, Gary Daniels, like he used to get so excited when he saw this schedule and said, man, I cannot wait to pet Nick Saban down there on November 8th. This is going to decide. These are two teams that aren't at the top anymore. They're not the peak of the SEC. They're close, but they're not there. And they are going to be one of those fringe teams. And we're going to be doing the same thing at the end of November on why this team shouldn't get in, why that team should. We're going to go back. And you can't say anything if you get smoked at home. You know what I'm saying? If Bama gets smoked at home against LSU, guess what? Bama ain't getting in. That's right. What happened. You lose to Oklahoma. That's embarrassing. You're out. You lose to LSU, I think you're out as well. So, yeah, what a great game that one will be.
All right, final game here. And I hope I'm not wrong. I think it's going to be one hell of a matchup this year, Shane.
Arkansas? No, I'm sorry.
Texas.
Oh, Arkansas ain't getting in? You got nothing nice to say about Arkansas?
Not on this list. Sorry, buddy.
I'm going. But sure, let's put three Florida games on here. Golly.
Texas?
Yeah.
Texas A&M, come on. I know last year was a dudder, but, I mean, it really did decide who went to the SEC championship. And ultimately a playoff spot. So, again, all the luster essentially was off A&M after the way they collapsed the tail end of the season. But if we can avoid a collapse like that, I think this could be huge once again. I mean, I don't think these two rivals are going anywhere. I think they're going to be at each other's throats for years and years and years and years. And Texas hosting A&M. What a scene that's going to be. And I think it very well, because it's the last game of the year, could decide who gets in, could be an eliminator. It may not punch someone's ticket, but it may eliminate someone.
Yeah, and I feel like we need another palate cleanse before. You know, we built this freaking game up so high, and then it happened. It was like, golly, you know? Mm-hmm. Same thing when Oklahoma and Texas played it. We built it up. Oh, this is the greatest football game. And then you watch it, and you're just like, oh, man. Glad I didn't drive there for that thing. So I feel like this is what we need. Texas A&M more than Texas, of course, is just a palate cleanse, just a reset button. Let's do this right. Let's make it competitive. So you're right. A&M is always going to be one of those teams that's talked about late in the season. I feel like Texas will be too. And the beauty of this game being played at the end of the season, one's getting in, one's not, you know? So yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait for a part two of that situation.
And this one will be featuring Arch Manning in a main role, not a supporting role. So it just gets even bigger.
Yeah, they're pissed up that they didn't get to see Arch as much as they should. Well, you're gonna get to see him. You're gonna see him quite a bit in this game.
How many game day segments of Arch are we gonna get that week?
Well, man, I wonder, because we talk about him too much. I feel like, you know, kid's not really taking a full. I mean, he's done a couple of games. You know what I'm saying? But
Shade, I think it was at media days. You asked literally anybody and everybody that went to Texas, covers Texas, says Texas. You asked every single damn one of them about Arch Manning.
I just wanted to get it out there before everybody caught on that he was down there. I was afraid they didn't know. You know. Manning, did you see Peyton's son? Now that's already cranked up. So
yeah, Marshall.
We got years of this yet coming. So
has Marshall committed to Tennessee yet, or what?
Not yet. Yeah, I don't know if he would. I don't know if he would. I mean, I think the Mannings want to do their own. For me, I don't. I was kind of surprised that Eli went to Ole Miss.
Really? You know?
Yeah, I mean, that was his daddy's spot, and you know, Peyton didn't go there. So then I was like, well, if I don't do it, my brother ain't going to be like, well, I want to please dad, you know. He'd be like, shit, I don't want to go there either. I'm going to Hawaii or something, you know. Yeah. I just wonder if the Mannings, now that they've kind of branded, we got Ole Miss, we got Tennessee, we've got Texas, you know, what's the next one? I hope it's SEC. I would imagine it would be. But where would you like to see the next Manning land?
Well, they're from New Orleans, so naturally, yeah, will we ever see one at LSU? That's
a good one. Yeah,
that's certainly a possibility, don't you think?
Coach Kelly be doing some dancing then, won't he? He gives his whole paycheck to get Manning up there.
The only SEC school that'll never happen. Who do you think?
Florida,
Mississippi State.
Oh, you think?
Oh, yeah, because they all went to Ole Miss. They hate Mississippi State.
I was thinking Florida because they all hate Florida, too, you know. So, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. Well, hey, buddy, it's great to have you back. Any last words before we hop off the line?
No, I have those notifications on. I got some cool stuff coming out. Big Cuz Does got cranked up. It just takes me 4 days and, you know, to get these videos together. I'm not good at the editing part, but I'll be getting that one out probably this weekend. So as soon as that gets posted, you'll be notified. But I got some other stuff. We got some other stuff in the hopper as well. So we're going to be with you all off season, and we got a lot of stuff to keep it exciting. So be sure to have those on, and I look forward to seeing you guys on the next show.
All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate you. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.